From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Welcome into Inside the Parker, our off-season edition. Rob Parker here, you there, coming up on the program. We'll talk with former Major League manager Bo Porter about the Nationals' huge signing of Steven Strasburg. Also, Julian McWilliams from the Boston Globe joins us from San Diego and the winter meetings. He'll talk to us about what's going on with the Red Sox and the future of Mookie Betts. That, plus my Hall of Fame ballot, I'll reveal that and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball.
Number one.
The Washington Nationals did the right thing. He's staying in Washington, D.C. as Steven Strasburg is on the verge of a record-breaking contract. Yes, the 2019 World Series MVP has agreed to a 7-year, $245 million contract with the defending Nationals. And that news coming down the first day of the winter meetings in San Diego. And no one should be surprised. It averages out to about $35 million a season and breaks two records, at least temporarily. David Price previously held the record for total dollars committed to a pitcher, which was 217, while Zach Greinke held the mark for the highest average annual value for a pitcher at 34.4. However, we do know Gerrit Cole will get signed, and he's probably going to break that. That's how much money's out there for baseball. But let's not make a mistake about this. The Nationals did the right thing, keeping their own guy. And then he had a great year. It was 18-6 with a 3.32 ERA in 33 starts, and then the 31-year-old was just masterful in the postseason, going 5-0 with a 1.98 ERA in six games. He had five starts in the postseason, and of course, in the World Series against the Astros, he started and won both game 2-6, and unbelievable for Steven Strasburg. Mazel tov to both the Nationals and their fans and to Steven Strasburg. He earned every penny of it.
Number two.
Gerrit Cole is going to get paid. Some people are thinking that he's going to break the bank and could get maybe even $300 million. Sources are saying that the Yankees are in all the way, that they've gotten a commitment from ownership to be able to go and get Gerrit Cole to add to the top of their rotation. There are other teams that are definitely interested in him. He had a phenomenal year. He didn't win the Cy Young. That went to Justin Verlander, his teammate. But he had a Cy Young type of season. Gerrit Cole, 29 years old, 22 months shy of Strasburg. And here's another one. You ready? No injury history. So $300 million makes total sense in this situation. And immediately, there's competition. It's not just the Yankees in there. Supposedly, there's competition coming from his hometown, Angels, and perhaps even the Dodgers. And even the San Francisco Giants, apparently, they have money. They're also interested. This will be interested. There'll be a little bit of a bidding war. He'll make more than Strasburg. But Gerrit Cole's going to hit the jackpot. Baseball keeps shelling out big money. It probably will be an 8-year contract for $300 million. And I'll tell you this, he's worth every penny of it. Again, the team that signs him will be in the mix for the postseason and potentially the World Series.
Number three.
Anthony Rendon, yes, he is going to get paid. He's the big slugger out there on the free agent market. And there are teams for him. There are at least two teams vying for the services of the 29-year-old third baseman who had a heck of a year with the Nationals. And the Nationals came out and said, hey, we can't sign both guys. You had Strasburg and you had Rendon. And so they chose Strasburg. And you know, baseball is about pitching. So Rendon has a chance to cash in as well. He won't get the kind of money that we just saw with Strasburg. It'll be a lot of money. And the two main people supposedly in, the Texas Rangers and the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Rangers make a lot of sense. They're opening up a new ballpark. They'd love to add his bat. And the Dodgers, again, Dodgers have plenty of money, and I think that they're looking to up the ante in L.A., not making the World Series this year, but have previously made it 2 years in a row, but still don't have the hardware. Dodgers haven't won a World Series since 1988, so this will be another very interesting spot where he can land. So Anthony Rendon, back up the Brinks truck for your payday.
Number four.
Say it isn't so. Lou Whitaker has been overlooked again. Here we go again with this. This makes no sense to me, only from this standpoint. Lou Whitaker did not make the Hall of Fame via the baseball writers. But there's a veterans committee that votes on players who might have been overlooked, who didn't get in through the writers' way. And here's my only issue. Why in the world did the committee, a 16-member modern era committee is what they call it, they voted in Ted Simmons, the former catcher, and the former executive Marvin Miller for changing the game of baseball through the Players Association that helped create free agency. But Whitaker, in his first year of consideration on the ballot, got just six votes, which was six shy of the 12 needed. Here's my only problem. Alan Trammell and Jack Morris from that 1984 Tigers World Championship team, they both got in through the Veterans Committee, and especially Trammell. Trammell and Whitaker played second base and shortstop together for 20 straight seasons with the Detroit Tigers. Lou was a Rookie of the Year. He was a tremendous player. And here's my only point. If Alan Trammell's in through the Veterans Committee, then Lou Whitaker should have got in. I don't get this. I know Lou wasn't the nicest guy around and all that, but his numbers and his ability should speak volumes, and especially when it's up next to Alan Trammell. So if Tram's in, Lou should be in, and I think the committee got it wrong. Casper is a sleep brand that makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest one night at a time. Their products are cleverly designed to mimic human curves, providing supportive comfort for all kinds of bodies. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foam for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. This breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulate your body temperature throughout the night. After all, you spend one-third of your life sleeping. So you should be comfortable. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars across Casper, Amazon, and Google, Casper is becoming the internet's favorite mattress. Casper also offers a wide array of other products like pillows and sheets to ensure an overall better sleep experience. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. Start your trial now and have your mattress delivered right to your door with free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting Casper.com/Parker and using Parker at checkout. That's Casper.com/Parker. Promo code Parker. Terms and conditions apply.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, let's welcome into the podcast former Major League player, former Major League manager, Bo Porter. Bo, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
Oh, I tell you what, it's the MLB hot stove. I mean, this is an exciting time of year for Major League Baseball, and I couldn't be happier with all of the traction that is taking place with free agency, with trades, and you look at, you know, the number of teams that have, you know, been inactive or tanking over the years. It's just good to see that there are quite a few teams that are looking to get better.
And we should say Bo Porter right now is in San Diego for the winter meetings. He's also an analyst for the Washington Nationals television. And speaking of the Nationals, did they make a big splash on the first day of the winter meetings? by signing their stud ace right-hander Steven Strasburg to a record-breaking 7-year, $245 million contract for the right-hander, 31 years old. What a great deal for the Nationals.
It's a wonderful deal for the Nationals. And again, I think in a day and age where you see players jumping teams and you think about a guy like Steven Strasburg, who obviously was the number one pick overall, he is one of those guys that staying in Washington was very important for him. And it's great to see that the organization and the player both was able to get exactly what it is they wanted in free agency. And when you look at this deal, and again, you know, I'm in the organization, I understand, you know, the Lerner family, I understand Mike Rizzo. This was top priority for them, for Steven Strasburg to retire as a Washington National.
And here's the other part that I loved. The organization came out, no games, no baloney, and said, we can't sign both guys. Anthony Rendon, who was tremendous again for them, one of their guys, they just said that we have two big-time free agents and we're going to sign one. And there was no monkey business, and they picked Strasburg. And you know what? You know the game, Bo, better than anybody. The game is about pitching. And when you got a guy like that at the top of your rotation, it's hard not to want to sign him.
It's very difficult. And again, I think when you look at the free agent market and what has taken place in the early stage of the free agent market, there's been a return to the importance of starting pitching. And I think the Washington Nationals' run of success through the postseason and route to winning the World Series has changed the thought process of a lot of front offices and a lot of teams as they're starting to put their teams together. And you look at having those three horses at the front of the rotation with Strasburg, Scherzer, and Corbin, they were able to weather the storm of even one of the worst starts in Major League Baseball, 19-31. But when you have those horses, and once those horses got going, it was a great success story for the Washington Nationals. But back to the deal, Rob, when you think about Strasburg opting out of the 4 years, $100 million.
What does that tell you right there? I mean, can you imagine you got $100 million guaranteed and you opt out of it? I think I would be afraid to leave the house.
Well, I think one, he knew his value. When you look at the free agent market and what other pitchers had garnished over the course of the last few years. But when you break this deal down and you have $80 million of it deferred, for the Washington Nationals, to me, this was a no-brainer. Because if you take the 7-year $245 and you subtract the $100 million that he was already due over the 4-year period, you're talking about 3 years at $145 million. Well, if you're the Nationals, you get to defer $80 million of that. Now you're looking at 3 years, $65 million for Steven Strasburg. When you really start to take a deep look.
No, those are real numbers. You're right. Those are absolutely real numbers. There's no reason not to get that done. Like you say, already on the hook for $100 million already. So, yeah, it's a sweet deal. And for Steven Strasburg, who's comfortable in Washington, you know, there was talk about the Padres and the Dodgers and maybe the Yankees and different teams who are looking for a stud, and he's comfortable. He got paid what he believed. Even though that won't last long, we both know that Gerrit Cole will wind up getting a bigger deal. But I think Strasburg did the right thing.
Yeah, and getting the biggest deal I don't think was ever a priority for Steven Strasburg. I think his family, and you mentioned, you know, him being comfortable in Washington. He has basically, his roots are there. His family's comfortable there. And those are the things for Steven Strasburg that were paramount in his decision-making. And when you look at the fact that even the deferment of the contract, Steven Strasburg will be a part of the Washington Nationals organization for the rest of his life. So them deferring a portion of his money, it just gives the organization more flexibility to go out and continue to make the team better.
There you go. Washington Nationals get there, man. I don't know if they're going to repeat and win the World Series again, but they did win. Strasburg was a big part of it, and they have them back in the saddle. Hey, Bo Porter, always a pleasure to have you on the podcast, man. Stay well. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
Julian McWilliams one of the brightest new young baseball writers. He covers the Red Sox for the Boston Globe. Julian, what's happening?
What's going on, Rob? Thanks for having me, man.
Always. And he's down at the winter meetings in San Diego. A lot of buzz going on down there. Paint the scene for us. What's happening?
I mean, everybody's waiting on Cota drop. You saw Strasburg drop for 7 years, 245 yesterday. Boris held his annual winter meetings, party, whatever you want to call it, his big shebang. So,
yes.
And he said Cole's going to get more than that, and we know Cole's going to get more. Cole's a better pitcher. So the Yankees said they won't be denied. You know, when the Yankees say they're not going to be denied, you know, usually they get the guy that they want. But
they have money. They got money to spend,
They got money. And, you know, I think this year against the Houston Astros, When their pitching kind of plummeted, their bullpen ran out, I think that was a wake-up call to Cashman to say, hey, we need to go out and get some guys.
How about the Red Sox? We know the big story when Dave Dombrowski was fired as a team president, and they were talking about the Red Sox going on welfare, and, you know, they don't have any money and all that other stuff. I mean, help me out. What are they doing, and is there some way, somehow, that Mookie Betts is going to be unloaded?
Well, I mean, that's always a possibility. If you look at the luxury tax situation, if they get under the luxury tax, which they're trying to get under $208 million, they could save $100 million next year. Granted, you're looking at Mookie Betts, a guy that's a 2018 MVP. You know, he's the second best player in my opinion, other than Mike Trout. You know, this is a guy that's a fixture in that lineup, man. And you know, they've gone to the table and they offered him the last 2 years. And this is a guy that's adamant that he wants to go into free agency. So they could unload him. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know if you unload him and you're a team that's in the running for something, you know, okay, it's not like a Kawhi Leonard situation where you're guaranteed. It's baseball. You know that. Like, it's not a guarantee that you win a World Series just because of one guy. And granted, if you unload him, you might be giving up some prospects in return. So, you know, and it's just, he's a rental. It's a rental thing. So it's going to come down to our team going to be willing to give up the prospects to be able to get Mookie Betts. And I don't know if they'll be able to be willing to do that, because it will be a huge haul to get him, because he's that type of player.
And what's your gut? So does he start this? Does he play for the Red Sox this year?
Yeah, I think he plays for the Red Sox this year. I can't see a team, unless a team feels that they're really, really close and he'll be the guy to get them over the hump, I can't see them giving in for his last year arbitration. Because remember, he's due to make $27 to $30 million in arbitration this year. So does the team want that bill? I don't know. I think he plays for the Red Sox this year.
Hey, the Texas Rangers got a big checkbook. They're opening up a new ballpark this season coming up. They're talking about trying to get Anthony Rendon. What do you think about that? Why does he wind up?
Hey, he's a Texas kid. I mean, I spoke to somebody from the Nationals after they won the World Series, and they said, you know, they're pretty much, you know, sold on he's probably not going to be able to come back next year. I know they offered him the 7 years, 215, but a lot of that was deferral money. He declined that. So I think they got the Strasburg deal, and now they're looking at a situation where they're trying to get him, but I don't know if they'll be able to dish out that type of money to get him with Washington. So I think he either goes to Texas, but now the Angels are in the mix too. So you never know with that situation. But this is the guy that put on the show in the World Series, and you know, he deserves the money for sure.
All right, last thing, just your gut. Where does Garrett Cole wind up? Is it the Yankees? Is it the Dodgers? Is it the Padres? Where does he wind up?
Look, the Yankees missed out on him in 2008. He decided to go to UCLA. He grew up a Yankee fan. Yankees don't swing and miss when they really want somebody. I think he ends up a Yankee.
All right, there he is, Julian McWilliams, who covers the Boston Red Sox for the Boston Globe. Always a good read. Check him out. Julian, thank you so much. Happy holidays to you and yours.
Hey, appreciate it, Rob. Anytime.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out. Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
The reason baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL is simple. The Hall of Fame matters. People care who's getting in. People don't even know what the criteria is in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. Remember, the NBA doesn't have a Hall of Fame. And the Pro Football Hall of Fame, they let 11, 12 people in. That can't be a special place if that many people get in at one time. But, all right. I've been a Baseball Hall of Fame voter for a number of years. It's my most prized possession. And here is my ballot for the 2020 Hall of Fame class. I voted for Barry Bonds. I voted for Roger Clemens. I voted for Gary Sheffield. I voted for Sammy Sosa. You get 10 votes. I only voted for 5. That's 4. Let me tell you why I voted for the first 4. Barry Bonds, all-time home run king. Roger Clemens, 7 Cy Youngs. Gary Sheffield, over 500 home runs. Sammy Sosa, over 600 home runs. Yes, they all get my vote. And, of course, the number one vote on my ballot for this year's first year on the ballot is none other than the captain, Derek Jeter from the New York Yankees. Over 3,000 hits, unbelievable career, rookie of the year, 20 years with the Yankees, 5 championships. I think he had nearly a perfect career in baseball. I'm not sure if he's going to get it unanimously like Mariano Rivera did, but Derek Jeter gets my vote. Recap, Rob Parker voter number, baseball writer number 103, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Gary Sheffield, Sammy Sosa, and Derek Jeter. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.